Hebrews chapter 12. Guidance from the Lord. Guidance from the Lord tonight in regards to correction. Correction. Everybody loves to be corrected and disciplined. What a day that will be when we get to heaven and we won't need correction or discipline. But as for now, we still do. You're waiting for me to go down there. I said I was going to go down there. All right, I'll go down there. Well, I will. All right. All right. There we go. So Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer once more. Lord, thank you for your word this evening. Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to chasten us, to correct us, to turn us away from the things that would do us harm, that would bring dishonor to the one who saved us. Lord, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to learn and to be drawn closer and nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll begin reading in verse 5. Hebrews chapter 12, begin reading in verse 5. The writer of Hebrews says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. This is an illustration, a lesson that children learn, hopefully. And also we as children of God also have to learn. Okay. And then he begins to quote from Proverbs chapter 3 that we just read. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked or corrected of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. And what son is he whom the Father chasten is not? Verse 9, furthermore, if we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the fathers of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So the writer of Hebrews quotes from Proverbs 3, and then he expands upon it in explaining, saying, have you not read from Proverbs? Do you not remember the exhortation that God gave to us to not despise the chastening hand of God. Do not despise discipline and correction in our lives. Why? Because God loves you. And God doesn't want you, to stay on the path, the broad way that leads to destruction, spend eternity in hell, or B, he doesn't want his children that are on the narrow way to miss out on blessings and to become unuseful in the service of the Lord or miserable in the service of the Lord, and therefore he does what? He chastens. He corrects. At times he punishes. Not things that we consider pleasant. But not everything that is unpleasant is not good. There are some things that are unpleasant that are good. And so this is one of those things that we need to be reminded of. God does some things in our lives as our parents did when we were little children that are unpleasant, but therefore are what? Therefore are good. And we must not despise God's work. We must accept it. We must embrace it. We must learn from it. It's not whether we deserve discipline. Certainly at times we will. The question is how we will respond. And if we despise it and we hate it and we get angry at God over it, then we won't profit from it. Back to my outline here. I ran a rabbit. When we were young, we did many foolish things out of ignorance and stubbornness and curiosity. Okay? Thus the verse up on the screen. Foolishness is what? Bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Okay? It is just a fact that children are foolish. They're very curious. Oftentimes, they're very selfish. And they are very ignorant. And so they do things that can be very hurtful to them and to others. And they need correction. Because if they're not corrected, they'll just continue to do the same wrong, hurtful thing over and over and over and over again. And so they need correction. They need discipline. Sometimes they need, there's that punishment, okay? It's necessary. It is good for them. Now, when I was a kid, I didn't believe that, okay? But when I became a parent, then, well, I changed my mind about that. So, thus God who made us gave us parents, loving, wise caregivers, whose responsibility it was to train us in the way we should go. Whose way? God's way. The way we should go is not just our way, it's also God's way, okay? Sometimes that's taken to mean, oh, well, it's just we're to steer them in the way that is their way. Well, hopefully their way is God's way because God created them to serve him. And though God didn't create them identical to me and he doesn't have the exact same plan for them, he has a plan, he has a will. A lot of that we know because it's written in his word. And we as parents have been given to children in order to help train them, to lead them, which involves discipline in the way of the Lord, the way they ought to go. So Proverbs 22:6 on the screen, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Two of the tools to perform this special task, this vital task, are chastening and correction, discipline and reproof, okay? as mentioned in Proverbs 3 and again here in Hebrews chapter 12. As God points out in Matthew 7:11, right here, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, good gifts to them that ask him? Okay? And sometimes the gift can come in the form of what? Correction and discipline. And certainly, most of the time, we would not call that a gift. And our children would not call that a gift. But indeed it is. And if we, being the corrupt people that we are, know how to give good gifts, to discipline, to be good parents to our children because we love them, how much more so our Father which is in heaven. Whether he is providing us enjoyment and food and blessings and heaven, most importantly, or whether he is disciplining us, it all still falls under that same umbrella when it comes from the Lord. If our self-centered, sin-cursed parents care enough for us to provide our needs, why should we think for a moment that our holy heavenly Father does not know what we need and will withhold it from us? One of those things which we need, obviously, is discipline and correction. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay? So we start out in life pointed the what? The wrong direction. And without intervention, we will continue to go the wrong direction. Why do we have so much issue with violent, disrespectful, actions of behavior of our youth, which now you might say some of those youth are 40 and 50 years old, or even older than that. Why is it that you see them on TV being so angry and violent and cursing and doing all this stuff? Why is that? Well, because man is naturally born pointed the what? The wrong direction because our sin nature. God gave us parents to help turn us in the right direction. And God himself and his word helps to turn us in the right direction. So we don't go that way that leads to death. We go this way that leads to what? To life and blessing in life. And that is a correction. Correct this path to this. It's a big correction. And oftentimes it includes chastening. I'm reminded with my own children of my foolishness as a youth and of my stubborn and selfish ways even as an adult, because I still need discipline and correction. When I had kids, that was kind of, oh, yeah. I didn't want to get up in the morning when I was a kid. Mom had to drag me out of bed. I'm a little better at that. Not a lot. yeah, I know. Not a morning person, sorry. I try to fake it really good on Sunday morning. I didn't want to do my schoolwork. I hated homework. I didn't want to work in the garden. I had to work in the garden like every day over the summer. I was so glad when I left home and I said, I will never have a garden again. And so far, I have kept that promise. I did not want to come home when playing with my friends or stay where I was supposed to. I definitely never wanted to go to bed when I was told. My parents often had to resort to something called chastening, discipline, when I did not cooperate. It was for my good, and I recognize that now, but not when I was, 12 years old. As we mature physically and mentally, hopefully we also, particularly as children of God, mature spiritually and come to recognize that our God indeed does want the best for us, that sometimes we definitely still need discipline and correction in our life, in our thinking, in our behavior, in our actions, in our outlook, and all of these things, so that we can be children who bring honor to our Father and children who enjoy the best that this life has and what He has for us. So our Heavenly Father does for all of His children, some more than others, but all of us regularly. We are so prone to wander. We need His loving, firm hand often to bring us around, and sometimes it is both humbling and hurtful, albeit necessary and good. Thus Solomon declares, please do not despise, reject, or get upset over the chastening hand of God, because it is there for our good. And do not get weary, frustrated over the correction of the Lord in your life. Well, you know, as a child, my mom would correct me oftentimes over the same thing, over and over again, and it's like, just leave me alone. You know, it gets wearied with getting corrected and chastened. Of course, what's the fix? Do what you're told, and you don't have to continue to be what? You don't have to continue to be corrected. But human nature, especially in our youth, is to get upset at the person who is chastening us and to get weary with the correction rather than learning and correcting our way. But the problem is, sometimes even as adult believers in Christ, in regard to the Lord, we still struggle. We still struggle with that. We need to be reminded that when chastening does come, we need not what? We need not despise it, and we need not to get weary with the Lord's. We need to listen. We need to listen. We need to change to be more like our Savior. Because that is not only does not only bring glory to our Father in heaven, but it's infinitely more better for who? For us. Yeah. Why does God do this? Because He loves you, and you must learn. And sometimes we must learn the hard way. So, step one, I have three steps here before we finish this evening. And the three steps are two pages, so we're not going to be done in 5 minutes, all right? So step number one, okay? Before chastening comes instruction, okay? It isn't though God just puts us out there and says, okay, go, and then when we go the wrong way, He nails us, okay? No, God has given us His Word, He's given us His Spirit, He has given us other teachers and examples in our life. He doesn't just set us out there all by ourselves and then get angry at us when we fail. No, He gives us a ton of instruction in His Word to follow. And the process begins not with the chastening. The process begins with the instruction. Do this and you'll be blessed. Do that, and there are consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so God says, okay, do these things and live. Do these things and face ruin and misery, which I don't want. So God instructs us not only in the way of salvation to get to heaven, but the way to live that we might fulfill our purpose, that we might be useful in the hand of our God, that we might make a difference in this life, that we might find joy in serving Jesus, that we might live in the blessings of the Lord, He instructs us. He tells us the right from the wrong. The Ten Commandments aren't there to squash us and keep us from having fun. The Ten Commandments are there to keep us from getting into what? From getting into trouble. So first comes the instruction. The Lord instructs through His Word, His Spirit, and other Christians, right from wrong, God's way versus the world's way. And when we are faced with choices, He expects us to apply that knowledge and his guidance and choose the right path or the right action. God reminds us, Proverbs 23:12, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to know understanding. All those verses are from Proverbs, and what is God saying? Please listen. Just please listen to what I have to say. Listen to what your spiritual leaders, your parents, your teachers, consider what they have to say, because it will help you. It will keep you from the chastening. It will keep you from the punishment. It will keep you from the misery. Schools have handbooks, and students are sometimes required to read them and sign them. Oftentimes, I don't think they do. They just sign that they read them, and they don't actually read them. But they're there for a purpose, so that you know the rules, so that you know how things work, so that your experience as a student is better, and so is everybody else's, if you know the instructions and follow them. Your workplace may also have rules of conduct and job requirements that you must meet. What if I didn't follow my parents' instructions or the college's rules? What happened next? Well, Bob Jones, when I was there, by the time David and Emily went there, they didn't have it anymore, so they didn't get this fun experience. They had something called the Discipline Committee. And if you got demerits for certain things, you had to go sometime during the day when you had an off hour. You had to go to the Discipline Committee, and you had to explain yourself to a staff member, and they would decide what your punishment would be, okay? Kind of like going before a judge and, well, you can get 5 years for this, or you can get 20 years for this, and you have to go to the judge and explain what I did. And, yes, I missed class. Yes, I was sleeping again. That's why I missed class, and I get so many demerits for missing class, okay? And it was excruciating because you had stuff to do, and the Discipline Committee was in the middle of the alumni building, that everybody on the first floor, everybody that came in and out saw you standing in the Discipline Committee line. You got, and it was a long line. Yeah, a lot of times it took you the whole hour to get in to see whoever you were supposed to talk to. And if you didn't do it, well, then it got, you know, they just gave you the worst possible demerits or whatever for what you had done. So, yeah. It was just best to do what you were to do what you were told. And David and Emily probably wouldn't have spent any time in that line anyway, but I did. Anyway, so step one, follow the instruction. If you don't, then you come to step number what? Two, and that is chastening, okay? That is chastening. Now, chastening is just another step in learning and maturing process thanks to the flesh. Okay, if it weren't for the flesh and our sin nature, wouldn't have this process, but we do, and we need to learn from it. It should not surprise us when it occurs, particularly when we have been warned of the consequences of our disobedience. Do this, this follows. It is not a pleasant part of the process. And it is not meant to be a pleasant part of the process, because if we don't learn the easy way, then we got to learn the what? We got to learn the hard way. But we still need to learn. In verse 11, it says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. What is the writer of Hebrews saying? It's not enjoyable. Okay. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So if you approach discipline, if you deal with discipline and chastening the right way, it results in what? it results in good. You learn, you do better, prosper, you learn, you become a better person, and likely will have a better life if you learn. So many of the people that are in jail are there because they didn't what? They didn't learn. They didn't learn. They did wrong, they were chastened, and they just got angry at the system. They got angry at whatever the case may be, and they didn't learn. So we need to learn. We need to deal with it the right way. If it were always pleasant, we would not see the need to avoid it. And that's just true. Like to say it would be different, that we always just learn from just being told, but sometimes we just can't learn without the unpleasantness of chastening. It is meant to get our attention as to our failure. Sometimes chastening is, we're just going along not caring, and a teacher, a parent, or God has to step in and go, whoa, stop, let me get your attention. There's something here that you're going, you need to stop, and God has to get our attention. I was a fella at the church that I grew up in Virginia. Him and his wife came to our church quite faithfully for a while, and then he got a piece of land on a pretty busy highway. He decided he would build a convenience store on that property, and he started this convenience store. It took him out of church quite a bit. And then he decided that especially in the moonshine capital of the world, one of the best ways to make money at a convenience store is to sell liquor, okay? And so he started selling liquor. And then he came to the church even less. And then he decided, another good way to make money is to start selling X-rated videos and the like. And so he started doing that. And we didn't see him at church hardly ever. He went away to see his brother in Texas, I think it was. And while he was in Texas, he messed up his back. I don't know how he messed up his back, but he was in Texas for like 2 months, laid out on his back, couldn't move, couldn't get back to his business. While he was in Texas, his business got robbed twice. The second time, what they did is they pulled up a truck to the back of the store. They used torches and saws, and they cut through the back wall. They didn't steal what was in the safe. They stole the safe. Yeah. when he finally got back, his business was just a complete mess. Now, I just suspect, and I'm not God, but I just suspect that maybe God was trying to get his what? His attention. Yeah. God was trying to get his attention. And sometimes God has to go out of his way to get our attention when he keeps talking to us through his word and his spirit, and we just aren't listening. It is meant to bring us to a point of repentance, to repent, to see, to confess, as it says in 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins, to admit to them, and then, therefore, to be changed. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 7, "Now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance, for ye were made sorry about after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So Paul says, I wrote, he corrected the church in Corinth in his previous letter, and Paul was grateful to hear that his correction, his rebuke, that it resulted in repentance. Because it doesn't always result in repentance, okay? But because many in the church at Corinth were genuine believers, the Lord got worked on their heart. They took the message the right way. They repented of what they were doing, and they became a more useful, vibrant testimony for the Lord. And Paul was so excited about that. It's not that God expects us to never fail. He knows our frame, okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be what? Utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. It's not that we're not going to fall, and God does know that, but he says, but he wants to help us to get back up. And sometimes that getting back up does require chastening. It does. It may come to us in many forms, speaking in relation to other authorities and issues in life. It can come in the form of a paddling. I got a few of those as a kid. I got three of them in middle school at school because I just couldn't keep my yap mouth shut and pestered my friends and talked when the teacher was talking, and she didn't like that, so I got paddled. It may come in the form of a ticket because you just have a heavy foot. You know, it's not your fault. You just have a heavy foot, you know. And that, okay. may come in the form of a ticket. It may come in the form of a demerit and having to stand in the discipline committee line in front of everybody for an hour when I could have been doing something else. Sadly, it can come in the form of years in jail. And there are many people that are there, sadly. God's chastening hand may come to us in other ways as well. It can come in sickness, like the fellow that I mentioned, or Nebuchadnezzar, or Uzziah. We're going to look at Nebuchadnezzar a little later when we get near the end of the message. Uzziah was struck by leprosy by God. He was a relative, his good king. He believed in the Lord. He led Israel well. But then he decided near the end of his reign that he was going to go into the temple where only the priests could go. And God struck him down with leprosy. It can come in loss. Saul lost his kingdom. David lost his child. Samson lost his strength, his sight, and his freedom. It can come in removal of a blessing. Oh, how Moses was looking forward to stepping into the promised land. But God had to chasten him and take it away. It can come in the form of humiliation and exposure. Abraham lied about his wife, said that she was his what? Sister. To Abimelech. And then he had to go back before Abimelech when he was found out, when God intervened, praise the Lord, and he had to eat humble pie because he had lied. It can come in the form of 40 years wandering in the desert in rejection or in rejection of a request. It can come in obstacles. Here's Balaam. Sitting on his donkey, gonna go make himself a bunch of money by prophesying in favor of the Moabite king, and the donkey won't go. It sits there. It heaves back and forth, and he kicks the thing, and he curses at the thing, and it won't go. And finally, what does the donkey do? It turns around and talks to him. God loosens the tongue of the donkey. And guess who really is the donkey? Well, the donkey is not the donkey. The donkey is the guy sitting on the donkey. And Balaam was so embarrassed. God sent obstacles Balaam just kept going around them. Eventually, it caught up with him. It did. God's chastening often includes both suffering and humiliation. Be sure your sin will what? Will find you out. What is the response of fallen man most often to such situations? How does our natural man respond to chastening? With anger and defiance. You know, how dare you? Just leave me alone and let me do it the way I want to do it. It results in anger and defiance or frustration and depression. You know, it's just, well, this bad thing happened to me and that bad thing happened to me and, oh, life is terrible and, oh, I can't, you know, I try to do right and nothing and just ends in frustration and depression. Because those whose attention God is trying to get, they're not what? They're not listening and they're not seeing it. So oftentimes I talk to people who are way down on their luck and I say, do you know the Lord? Have you been? Oh yeah, yeah, I know. Where would I be without the Lord? But I tell you, every time I do something, it turns out wrong and this turns out wrong and that. Sometimes I've asked, what are you doing for the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? So you say, well, the Lord has done this for me, but what are you doing for the Lord? Are you living for the Lord? Are you doing anything for the Lord? You sleep out on the front porch, but you won't come in the doors and hear what? And it's not because they haven't been invited. Because most of the time I find them, I invite them. Because they need to hear it. Anger, depression results in people just running away. Says this in a few more verses from Proverbs here. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth proof erreth. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is chastening and correction, is brutish. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Okay, sometimes we have to be rebuked. How are you going to respond? Proverbs 15, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof. So don't hate reproof, okay? That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. Don't despise the what? The chastening of the Lord. No, he's trying to get your attention. He loves you. He's trying to fix what's wrong. So don't despise it. He's doing it for your good. What is Solomon telling his son here? Don't get angry with God. Do not become despondent. Do not run away from God's hand. Instead, run into his embrace because he loves you. He chastens those whom he loves, not those that he doesn't. He chastens those whom he loves. And his chastening is an evidence of his what? Of his love and of your relationship that you have with him. So don't despair. Don't run away. Don't get angry. Don't get depressed. Listen. Spend some time on your knees. Find out why. Now, sometimes God brings what would seem to be chastening into our lives or allows it when it's not because we did something. Every time you get sick doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Okay, just don't, you know. Why did you get COVID? Well, because you were in somebody's presence who had COVID and the virus got in your system. doesn't always mean that God is chastening you. In Job's case, God was using him to rebuke Satan. And in the end, again, it did result in Job's good. And he did learn some lessons. As you read through the book of Job, we think of Job as this great hero of the faith. Boy, he stuck it out. He was, you know, he didn't lose. You haven't read Job. Read Job. I mean, there were times Job said, Lord, why did you ever, you know, why was I born? It would have been better if I just was never born. That's how he felt. So he did have some things to learn. You know, he did have some things to learn. But the impetus behind the suffering that he suffered was actually because he was a faithful person, faithful believer, not because he was off the path and needed to be chastened. Why does God do this? Because he loves us and because it is for our what? For our good. For verse 10, they verily for a few days, that is our parents, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So he chastens for our what? For our profit. Now our parents may very well have disciplined to a certain degree for our profit as well, but not to the degree that God does. So step one, instruction. You don't listen to the instruction, and then step number two happens, and that's chastening. Step number three, correction. Correction. Okay? It doesn't do anything, do any good to suffer through the chastening if we do not listen to the what? To the correction. Okay? And correct the thing that was out of whack that brought the what? That brought the chastening. Don't despise the chastening. Be corrected by it. So step number three is correction. Correction is the next step in the process. You did wrong. Now you have to listen and follow through with the correction of your erroneous thinking, choosing, or action. The admonishment here is not to shortcut the process by not learning from it. Correct your thinking, change your way, so the pain has been what? Has been worth it, okay? Nothing more than chastening and being and suffering through something and then having learned absolutely nothing from it. That is sad. Slow down, you know. Pick up that heavy foot off the pedal. Be respectful, especially with your words. Don't get in fights with others. Don't chew gum in class. I got sent to detention in high school. Only time I got sent to detention, I was chewing gum in class. And all the girls were chewing gum in class, and they didn't get in trouble. Just me. But anyway. Clean your room. Don't wait until you've been told 10 times or you have 20 demerits to clean your room. Clean your room. Do your homework. Get up when you are supposed to. God chastened Israel. How long did he chasten them? For 40 what? 40 years. 40 years. 1 year for every day the spies were in the land and came back with an evil report. 40 years in the wilderness. Do you realize poor Moses spent 80 years of his life in the desert? He spent 40 years after he killed the Egyptian. God worked on him to bring him to the point where he would be the humble servant of the Lord that he needed, not the proud prince coming out of the palace. And then he led Israel out of Egypt by the mighty hand of God. And then when he brought them to the land, they said no. And guess what? He spent the next 40 years wandering in the desert and he still didn't get to stand in the promised land. 80 years in the desert Moses spent. Israel spent 40 years being chastened by God. The next generation learned the lesson from the what? The previous generation. So when they went back to the land, they say, aha, we're not going to say no this time because it didn't end well last time. So we are going to learn our lesson. And I want to conclude this evening from Daniel chapter 4. This is a story of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar had to learn some of his lessons the hard way. But you know something? Oddly enough, this tyrant, dictator, ruthless, bloodthirsty king actually did learn from God's chastening. And if he can, who can? We can, hopefully. So Daniel 4:24. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel is now telling the interpretation of the dream. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. And 7 times, it'll be 7 years, shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and if it may be, the lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So 12 months later, after he was given this instruction, okay, he didn't listen. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this the great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Verse 33, the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and did eat grass as an oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven. His hair were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, and so now it flips. Now Nebuchadnezzar is the one writing. So Daniel's actually recording something that Nebuchadnezzar wrote. At the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, for he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are true and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And he knew it because he had what? He had lived it. And God chastened him. And in the end, even Nebuchadnezzar realized it was for his own what? It was for his own good. And he learned, and he deflected the glory to the God of heaven, the true God, the God of Daniel. And God indeed blessed him and gave him back the things that he had taken away. What was that? That's an example of chastening. God chastened him. For 7 years, he went completely insane. He refused to live in his room, in his bed. Instead, he rummaged around outside. He ate grass. The eating of grass and that sort of things day after day after day causes your nails and everything to grow thick and long. And he became a wild man. But when he humbled himself and he accepted God's correction, God restored everything to him. Because, see, that is God's goal. God's goal is to chasten us and correct us so that we can more readily receive the blessing and be used in the hand of our God to make a difference. And Nebuchadnezzar went from being an extremely wicked pagan king to being a humble king who extolled the true God. So why does God do this? Well, because in the end, we will profit and grow, because it is necessary and it is right, because it is God's will. It is not bad, but good, and our attitude toward the entire process will matter greatly as to whether we learn our lesson or that it becomes necessary to rinse and repeat. And thankfully, Nebuchadnezzar here, finally, I think he rinsed and repeated a few times before he got to here. But he finally got it right. And sometimes God has to do the same for us. Praise the Lord, he doesn't what? He's a patient God. He is a gracious God. And he's a merciful God, and he doesn't give up. He doesn't give up on his own. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time we could spend in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are a loving God. Thank you that you're not just there to hammer us when we do wrong. Lord, you just want to guide us in the way that is right. Lord, thank you that that you don't give up on us, and help us, Lord, to understand your love, to see chastening and correction in our life as a good thing, and to respond to it correctly, and Lord, to enjoy the greater blessing that is ours when we are responding in faith and in love to the one who loves us so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.